This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
And let's head out to the Window Nation fan guest hotline, where we are joined by a man who should have gotten hazard pay for watching the Orioles lose to the Reds yesterday, 24-2. And Jacob, thank you as always for your time. We appreciate it. So let's just get right in on this. How much longer do you think we endure Charlie Morton?
Well, first I'll just, I want to start. Hazard pay sounds like a great idea. If anybody would like to campaign for that, they can email my bosses at the Baltimore Sun. And, Charlie Morton, what other choice do they have? They're stuck between a rock and a hard place with Charlie Morton, because you simply cannot keep throwing him out there.
Nope.
But their rotation depth is so beat up that they don't really have a choice. I mean, Cody Poteet is one of the choices to go out there and be a sacrificial lamb, and that obviously didn't work out. You know, that didn't work out yesterday. So I think in the very, very near term, you have to give him another start. And then where it goes from there is probably dependent on Zach Eflin's health and how Charlie Morton pitches, because Brandon Young can't come up for 15 days. Teams are not doing the phantom IL thing after the Mets got banged for it a couple years ago. So they can't just fake an injury to somebody and then get Young back up here. And then, you know, Zach Eflin is probably still a couple weeks away, and he's probably going to need a rehab assignment, if I had to guess, maybe just one start. So I don't know. If I had to guess, there's probably still 2 to 3 more Charlie Morton starts in here, and he's got to figure out, because it's been really bad.
Yeah, let me just make this clear. They have nobody to blame but themselves. They made the decision to give him $15 million. They signed him. They signed up for this.
Right. This isn't like – like, there are things that have happened this season that are obviously unlucky. Like, right, Michael Elias has yet to sign a good free agent reliever. And the fact that Andrew
Kitchen... He's yet to sign a good free agent player.
the fact that Andrew Kittredge got hurt in spring, that's just unlucky. He's a player that has an injury history, but a kind of random knee thing, that's unlucky, right? And the Colton Cowser thing, it's like, man, that's unlucky. But, like, the Charlie Morton seeming to be near the cliff or have already fallen off it is not unlucky. That is something that was well within the realm of possibility when they signed him. It's unfortunate, but it's not unlucky. And you're right, it is of the organization's doing.
But like the idea that they have no choice. I wait a minute. I'm old enough to remember the Rays, an actual smart team, not a team that wants you to believe how smart they are, but an actual smart team, coming around with this whole opener thing and developing a multitude of 1 to 3 inning arms that they were able to dispatch at an alarming rate to dizzy you and stifle teams when they went through cataclysmic pitching injuries. And it looks like A.J. Hinch does a pretty good job with that in Detroit and that spread. Like, go get me Kyle Brenovich and all that kid's been through. And he's got 24 strikeouts and 17 innings in Norfolk. And I'm not telling you it's been great. I've watched some on the app. He gets hit hard. The league's batting 270 off him. But, like, I mean, to keep throwing a 42-year-old out there who you know can't give you six outs without an atrocity.
Jason.
He's 56 in baseball years. Like, am I crazy? Like, bro, you're supposed to be like, you guys are supposed to be super smart. Come up with a plan. But to keep doing this because you wasted $15 million on him, I don't think that's tenable.
Yeah, as always, Jason, are you crazy? Yes. Are you crazy for this? No. Because it's funny, you mentioned Kyle Brnovich. Like, I could not have imagined that we would be in mid to late April and I would be looking at the Norfolk Tides roster and go like, man, they might have to call up Kyle. Like, they might have to call him up. You know what I mean? I did not expect that. I'll push back slightly. Could they go with an opener? Could they do some unique things? Should they do some unique things? Probably. Is Charlie Morton still in those plans? Probably, at least in the short term. You're not just going to DFA this guy at this point. And so if you go with an opener, like, let's say they want to go with an opener and they have that, like, Charlie Morton's still pitching in that game. And so is it the right decision to lighten his load, to take some pressure off him in the short term, to have an opener and then have him be the balk guy? Like, maybe there's an argument for that. Maybe they're thinking about that. But I really find it unlikely that they're just going to kind of cut their losses on Charlie Morton at this point. And given the amount of injuries, I'm not sure that that's the right decision either. But I also, if it happened, like if we got a notification tomorrow that Charlie Morton got, you know, was off this team, it wouldn't surprise me. And I don't think it would necessarily hurt this team. It probably helped this team in the short term.
Talking with Jacob Calvin Meyer, it's Inside Access here on The Fan. Jacob, how have they gotten worse against left-handed pitching?
I don't know. It's such a small sample. Like, I understand people hate hearing that in April, but like when we're talking about like lefty stats at this point in the season, like, it, like Tyler O'Neill being awful against lefties this season is like the most expected thing ever, because he was ungodly against them last season. And like, unless you are like a truly like Hall of Fame level player, like you're not going to maintain those splits. Ramon Laureano was much better against lefties last year than he had been the year before. And then he's not hitting lefties right now. And so I don't know if like the lefty thing is as much of a concern on like an individual basis as it is. I don't think they're playing their best players against lefties. And they in my mind, and that goes everything from Kerstad to down to Coby Mayo. And I'm not advocating yet that they need to get Coby Mayo up here, but just play along with me for a second. There is no margin for error with this team. It's gone. They have no option but to play their best players in the organization. And Coby Mayo against left-handed pitching is one of this team's nine best hitters. And so I don't know how it works. It probably doesn't in the short term. It likely requires them to do something with Jorge Mateo that they wouldn't want to do. But you can go from Kerstad to Arias down to Mayo and looking at the lineup against lefties and saying, man, they just need to put their best guys in the lineup.
I got to thinking watching some of these debacles this weekend that when this crowd is fired up, it really seems to me that these guys come up lame. And then I went to the old stat head there on Baseball Reference, because if you're going to pay $8 a month for access to this, you might as well use it. What do you make of this, IA Hall of Famer? Since 2023, the Baltimore Orioles are 28-26 at home when there are 30,000 people or more in the ballpark. 519 winning percentage, 19th in baseball, and we know they're 0-4 in the playoffs. That is 28-30. That's a pretty decent sample size when the environment is jacked. Because if this is a team that ain't up for it, that doesn't have enough veteran, that, you know what, Adley's good, he's not great. Gunner's great, but he's got to do too much. Westy's probably more good than great. We'll see, but like that might be the reality. Like Jackson Holliday, probably not even a replacement level player this year, right? You don't have dudes who can catch the ball in the outfield. None of the catchers can throw anybody out, right? We don't even run to the right base sometimes or know when to slide. Like, it does seem to me that there could be something to their youth really showing up, not even just in the playoffs, but when it even kind of feels like the playoffs.
Is that stat that you have, is that just for home games, or is that?
I only ran it for home games.
Okay, so my guess is that I would bet you that they have a higher winning percentage in road games with 30,000 plus fans. The one thing I'll slightly push back on is the fact that if there are more stands fans in the stands, it makes it quite likely that the opposing team that they're playing is a good team.
That's fair enough.
Half of those games are Yankees games or maybe that's Red fine. Sox games.
But you're telling me that they want to win a World Series, right? It's liftoff. I mean that right. should be the standard, right? I mean, according to their own general manager.
Well, according to their own manager, the fact that these are young players is something that he still at this point is bringing up when it comes to being able to flush a bad at bat, being able to flush a game, being able to stand up for yourself with umpires. And so there is certainly something to the fact that this is still a young team, even though, frankly, it's not a young team. And so the fact that they're playing that way is concerning, especially when the guys that they've brought in, all of whom are veterans, are either not performing or they're doing things
they're part
on
of the problem.
Field that are they're doing things on the field that are not veteran like.
Right.
Jacob, before we let you go, you are an IA Hall of Famer. So as a Hall of Famer, I want you to construct me a way out of this as they're presently constituted. Like
sell the team.
How do we get to a point where, and again, you could tell me it's early, but like where we feel good about where this team is trending?
Well, okay, here's good news, okay? So today, I'm sure you saw that Masson announced the direct-to-consumer
yes.
thing for fans.
Yes, yeah.
So the team loses by 22 runs yesterday, and today the team does something that fans have been clamoring for years. Okay, so if we just keep doing that, so they lose by 23 on Tuesday.
Yes.
There's going to be a new video board on Wednesday. They lose by 24 Wednesday. There's going to be a new sound system on Thursday. And listen, guys, they lose by 25 on Thursday. There's going to be an ace in here on Friday. So if this just keeps going,
okay,
the fans are going to get stuff that they want. To answer your question, if you had to ask me to build a bullish case for how they can get out of this, I think the fact that the two worst rotations in Major League Baseball right now are the Colorado Rockies and the Baltimore Orioles. Mm-hmm. That is not a list you want to be on. The Rockies are 4-17. The Orioles are 9-12 and 2.5 games out of a wild card spot. Okay, the American League is extremely mediocre. So the fact that they have that record with this rotation being this bad is at least a data point for me to look at and say, hey, if there's any sort of positive regression with the rotation, Dean Kramer the last 3 years has a 3.5 ERA in months not named April.
Yeah.
Okay, so if that happens, if Eflin can come back and be healthy, Grayson comes back at some point, if you know Charlie Morton cannot just lose them every game he pitches in, you can start to build a case here. The schedule's been difficult so far this season. If you look in May and parts of June, it gets a lot easier. And so there's a case here. I can see it. This offense, the expected numbers, the XOPS is like 100 points higher than the actual OPS. So there's a case to be made here. But at some point, they need to start treading water instead of falling behind.
Jacob Calvin-Meyer, always great, man. Thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. Enjoy D.C.
There's a case to be made that nobody wanted that series more than Austin Wins and Austin Hayes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Austin Wins said they came out flat.
So. Yeah.
Yeah, it was
a shot across the bow.
It's pretty much what they do.
Yeah. Thanks, Jacob.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks, guys.
Hey, coming up next, we go down on the farm, and Jason was down on the farm over the weekend. He saw firsthand Kyle Gibson pitching for the Ironbirds. We get his scouting report next here on the...
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Fan. Kyle Gibson, he was moved from Norfolk to Aberdeen, and Jason, you saw him pitch yesterday.
Yeah, I did not know that move was forthcoming when we went to see the Ironbirds. I'm glad it was. He, look, I'm not going to sit here and tell you that it was like he overpowered the Brooklyn Mets, who are a high A team. That gun, I thought, was registering a little low, but on that gun in the stadium, he was, you know, 88 to 92 quite a bit. He was super pitch efficient to start. As the outing went on, though, I felt like a lot of his off-speed pitches were coming out of his hand as a ball, and he wasn't even fooling righties with it. Like, early on, first couple of times through the lineup, which moved pretty quickly, the righties really didn't seem to know what was going on. He was putting them away with off-speed stuff off the plate. And it did look a little bit, you know, first six plate appearances did look like man versus boy. But then once they got a little feel for him and they realized that, okay, that really is what the velo was and this is the repertoire, there were four balls hit really hard. This kid, Jesus Baez, a young prospect for the Mets, destroyed a ball from the right side. I would say his effectiveness waned from about the fourth inning. He ended up going, six on 78 pitches. Was it better? Like, do I think Charlie Morton could have navigated that Brooklyn Cyclones lineup like Gibby did? Probably not. I was a little surprised, again, that the velo was where it was. I don't think he's probably entirely in pitching shape, but I also think this team's in crisis mode right now.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this.
That's why they moved him.
If he just threw 80 pitches to get that in, do I think it's out of the realm of possibility that he's pitching this weekend for the Baltimore Orioles, especially if other guys keep getting destroyed between now and then? I don't at all. Could he make one more start for the Norfolk Tides? Yeah, I'm not entirely convinced he will. I also think he's going to have a learning curve when he gets back to the majors, and he's going to have some sorting out to do. So, like, overall, I mean, do I wish I saw him facing a triple-A team instead of a high-A team to make sort of some conclusions? I do. It's a young high-A team. I mean, they're like, I would start him this weekend over Charlie Morton. I'll put it to you that way. I mean, that was my takeaway looking at one of those guys on my phone and watching this other guy three rows in front of my face. I think Kyle Gibson has more of a repertoire to try to compete right now. And I also think Charlie Morton shattered. There's a human element
you
to this.
You brought up I'm glad you brought that up because, and I don't know how much you could see watching it on your phone, but I'm watching that game yesterday and I'm watching a guy that knows he can't get anybody out.
Yeah.
Like, he knows. Now, I don't know if it's fixable, and, you know, he seems like a great guy.
Yeah, I think he's super cerebral and really wanted to be the cherry on top of a great team.
Yes.
Not one of the many things cratering a bad team.
He's pitched the last three starts, and maybe all five starts for that matter. But he goes out there, and he knows he doesn't have it. And
it's over.
And you see, by everything he does, he knows he doesn't have it.
And I started pointing it out the second time through the Toronto lineup because they were sitting on the curveball. They wanted to see that curveball, and they destroyed that curveball. And I think it got into his head very early in that first start that, you know what, it's a lot of money, but I was thinking about hanging it up. I probably should have hung it up. This is a perfect day to pitch in a dome against the lineup we've come to find out is not that special. And they were destroying his moneymaker from the giddy-up. That was a problem. That was a huge red flag to me, and it's part of the reason we made as big of a deal out of it as we did. And it turns out we were right. I thought Kyle Gibson was pretty good. I thought he might have gone like 85 to 90 pitches. I wasn't sure if they were going to bring him out for another inning. They cut him off at 78. It was a clean break. You know, he came into the dugout, and we're kind of sitting there saying, I wonder. I'll say this. He works incredibly fast. I mean, it's ridiculous how quick he was on the mound.
Yeah.
Like, he's on the mound. Like, dude, most innings, he was on the mound before most of the Brooklyn Cyclones were in the dugout. Like, he was there to work quickly and show that, hey, I'm done. Like, I'm ready. I'm locked in. I'm ready. Again, the control wavered. Too many times the ball fluttered out of his hand, and even these kids were picking up on it. And it's like, I don't have to offer at that. There started to be some automatic balls, and they even, again, from the right side, they started to tattoo him a little bit the last couple innings. But Yeah, I certainly don't think he needs to face another A-ball team, no matter what the schedule looks like, and he might not need to face another AAA team.
A couple of things. Number one, we want to hear from the people coming up at 345, 410-583-1057. We want to get your thoughts on this Baltimore Orioles team. We do have a poll out, and it's got a half hour left, so we've been remiss in not letting the people know. We posted this yesterday at IA1057, The Fan. Since the rebuild ended and the Orioles were legitimately looked at as contenders, 23 trade deadline, how would you grade the job GM Mike Elias has done building the Major League roster and taking it from a playoff contender to a true World Series contender? You have three options. A, he's been great. C, meh. And F, GM malpractice. Now, we've almost got 800 votes. And again, you've got about a half hour left to vote. Go to IA1057, The Fan, to vote. 55% of the people are grading him as an F, GM malpractice. C got 38%, meh. 7%, A, he's been great. So 93% of the people realize this thing has not been good since the 23 trade deadline.
I wish he was better at his job. And what I really wish is I wish he was less egomaniacal. I wish he was less selfish. I wish he really employed a growth mindset that he claims to want in his players. And I wish he would have had the self-awareness years ago to say, you know what? Because we were trying to tell him on air, we don't have the right checks and balances here. Some of our blank spots. What are they? Our blind spots?
Yeah.
Are going to remain our blind spots if we don't get other people in here who look at this thing holistically different than we do. I don't need more number crunchers. I might need the Dean Albanese of the world back here. I might need to critically rethink how I'm assessing this, because if I keep thinking the market's always wrong, maybe I'm the one who's actually wrong. Maybe we're the ones who are actually wrong. Maybe I need a Dombrowski type. Maybe I need something else different in our model and how we're shaping this. But no, they've doubled and tripled and quadrupled down on what they believe in. And like I said before, you can draw a line from Cole Irvin to Rodgers, if Rodgers ever even throws again. You can draw a line in all these draft picks and what they've looked for. You can see that they have certain types and they have certain things. And O'Neill being here the way a Dwight Smith was here, well, we think this guy can do one thing so well hitting that we can get beyond all the non-baseball things that he brings to the table. They're either not looking for it, don't know what they're looking at, or don't have enough checks and balances. But either way, to think that they were going to figure it out for themselves without ownership getting involved, I think was naive and silly, and it's now clear that they bamboozled that owner. And whenever he wakes up, it's probably going to be too late.
In light of Charlie Morton and the fact is, talking to Jacob Calvin Meyer, he's probably going to make at least one more start for this team. It's six-pack time, and it's a six-pack of the six most unserious things that this franchise has done. Baseball operate like with the on-field product, the six worst or most unserious moves that Mike Elias has made as GM of this baseball team. We'll give you our list next here on The Fan. Six-pack time. Six-pack brought to you by the folks at the Good Feet store. Go to goodfeet.com to find the store nearest you. Bone out, so Beltway Ben, if you'll be so kind, will judge today's six-pack. And I'll just keep it simple. The six worst moves of the Mike Elias era, the six worst things he's
most
done.
Most unserious.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
Least serious, yes. Most unserious, silliest.
Beltway Ben, let's get started.
Number six.
We should have seen this as a sign of things to come, but I put this at six, and it's the 2023 trade deadline when the Orioles were arguably the best story in baseball, and in real time we were begging them to go get reinforcements for this team that ended up winning over 100 games, and they decided to go get Fuji and the General, and that's Jack Flaherty and Fuji. And neither guy should have been on the postseason roster. Flaherty was in the bullpen, but that's a joke of a playoff of a trade deadline for a contending team.
I've got a three-way tie for six, so I guess this is really an eight-pack.
Hey, well, yeah,
but it's a combination of Fuji, the General, and the Rodgers trade.
Oh, I got that in there.
All
higher.
Three of the, like, it's hard to make your team, a good team, actively worse. And this guy accomplished it across the board, across multiple deadlines. But I'm focusing on those pitching trades because he has no idea what he's doing evaluating pitching whatsoever. Like, it's great that he got Bradish right. He also acquired 9,000 other arms in all those trades with the Angels and everybody else. And most of those have netted nothing. But the Rodgers one, though, I almost kind of put above because
I've got
he should have learned from the past. And the fact that Ben and I, who'd watched a lot of his starts, knew he was totally washed. He was a guy that I was fading every single start and making money off of. His velo's down. His stuff, even against bad teams, isn't playing well. Don't be fooled by some of these ERA. If you watch the start, the guy's done. He's toast. And you traded two kids who are everyday baseball players for the Marlins for that. He just did that. I mean, that just happened a few months ago. Completely unserious.
Number five.
I mean, this should probably be higher, but like, so should a lot of this. The fact that he watched the professional at-bats that they got from Aaron Hicks and decided we don't need that at all.
Oh, it's much higher.
We don't need a veteran, let alone a veteran switch hitter, who gets on base all the time, who works 8-9 pitch counts, who's done some things in the playoffs, who's been a part of some teams that matter. Like, he saw that. He got it off waivers for nothing. The Yankees paid all the money. And his response to that has been to just completely pretend it doesn't exist, to get younger and dumber as a roster in general. It infuriates me watching their pathetic walk rates and their pathetic at-bats night after night where they try to hit home runs and just instead of just get on base.
I've got that much, much higher because you know that's a special bane in my existence situation. But my five is the way they've handled injured pitchers. Kyle Bradish talking about the fact that he pitched in a ton of pain. Grayson Rodriguez, seemingly every year, it's a minor thing that turns major. And as you pointed out, Jason, the way they handled Felix Bautista a couple years ago and when you knew he was never going to pitch, to hold off on it, and you cost him six
Have
weeks.
Him throw in these stupid bullpens in 100-degree heat 2-3 hours before a game so your beat people can go out there and sell some narrative that maybe there's hope.
Yeah. He could have been 6 weeks ahead of his rehab. Instead, no, he wasn't.
Number four.
Four is where I have the Trevor Rogers trade because they actually gave up something to get Trevor Rogers. Connor Norby, who now is back from injury, and I'll admit, and I know it's small sample, but Kyle Stowers looks like a player in Miami.
I always said I thought he was.
I never thought he was going to be a player. You did. I didn't. He looks like a player. They gave up two players for a guy that then they said they knew was hurt. And that's why I have that higher than Fuji and the General, because they really didn't give up anything for Fuji and the General. Yeah. They gave up real players.
Easton Lucas. Yeah. Easton Lucas,
he got
baby.
Rocked yesterday. Yeah. But Trevor Rogers, that trade is an absolute disaster.
We had some fun looking at a highlight of Eloy Jimenez for the Durham Bulls catching a pop-up at first base and celebrating like he won Game 7 of the World Series. They went and traded for that guy at the deadline and shoved him down our throat as a right-handed DH fielder pretty much every single day in a pennant race into the playoffs. That happened. He
hit that homer.
I told you how the guy was completely washed as a hitter, let alone a player. Like, they did that, and here he is now after an offseason with the Rays. They don't hit that well, even in their minor league stadium. And he's a triple-A DH
first
for the
baseman.
Rays. And that was a critical Mike Elias trade deadline acquisition for a lineup that badly needed a professional at-bat.
Very, very good battle right now. I like Ken having Rogers a little higher, but Jason getting Eloy in there is good. And they have Eloy working at first base, which is something the Orioles could take some notes with some of their younger guys, getting them different spots in the field.
We are doing the six-pack of most unserious moves by Mike Elias as GM of the Orioles. And Beltway Ben, let's continue.
Number three.
Keeping Kimbrel as long as he did, refusing to admit defeat, and shoving that down our throats into September was really, really something. They knew better. Okay.
Yeah, that was on my original list and got cut, and I could have done a three-way tie like you did at the top, but my three, if I can read my own head. Oh, signing Charlie Morton, 41 years old. He's washed. He's showing you he's washed, but let's keep running him out here. That's my three.
Number two.
Two is bastardizing the stadium. They've moved the wall twice.
That's pretty good. They have
moved the wall two more times than they've signed anyone to a real multi-year deal since taking over this baseball team. It's funny if it weren't sad, but that's my two.
Yeah, I stuck to just on-field moves, but that is something. My two is continuing to propagate the myth that Adley Rutschman was a 2 or 3 hole hitter for a Triple A team, let alone a team that said it had World Series aspirations the entire second half of last year, while burying Cedric Mullins, who was their second best hitter, in the 7 through 9 hole because he's not one of their glory boys. That really took some. You want to talk about it not being about baseball, but being about their egos? We all saw it, and it's continuing. Except now Cedric's hitting above where he should be because they got nobody else.
Yeah.
Number one is thinking you could let Corbin Burns walk and talk up Grayson Rodriguez as a potential ace.
Yeah, that was fun.
And replace him with a 36-year-old from Japan who's never thrown a major league ball and a 41-year-old who's cooked. Like that their math of $28 million in those two mooks is going to offset whatever they allegedly pretended that they wanted to give Burns, who they knew was never going to take it anyway, and that Grayson Rodriguez, who'd never thrown more than 120 innings anywhere and had been hurt 3 straight years and came into camp not even 100%, that he was going to be the stopper. That's pretty unserious business.
Jason, you know what makes me angriest about these guys, and there's a lot, but the organizational philosophy that although we have 100-plus years of evidence that you need veteran everyday players to win, this team refuses to go get everyday players that have been there before, that know what slumps are about, that know how to get out of them, that knows what the grind is, that have been to playoff games and won playoff games, that have won World Series. Why was I begging for JD Martinez a year ago? Because he's been through it. He knows what it takes. And he can get in these guys' faces and tell them to wake the hell up. Why were we begging for Tommy Pham a year ago? Because he's been there, done that, and know how to fight out of slumps and knows how to win playoff games. None of these guys have ever won a damn playoff game, and they don't know what they're doing, and they need veteran influence because the skipper can't tell them any damn thing, and Robinson Chirinos can't tell them any damn thing. But you know what? They know better, and we don't have any veteran everyday players on this roster.
Way to take down the Ginger Gorilla.
Yeah, I saw with Jason, he left at baseball. I don't really care about the stadium as much. Also, Ken throwing Tommy Pham in there at the end. Tommy Pham's on the...
Gotcha, he doesn't like Tommy
Pham. Yeah,
Pham.
Yeah, I don't care. I'm right.
I don't...
Freddie Gonzalez wanted Tommy Pham.
Freddie Gonzalez has how many playoff wins?
How many playoff wins does Tommy Pham have?
How many Robertson Chirinos got?
Probably not many.
He helped the Diamondbacks get to the World Series 2 years ago. Ask the assistant GM what he thinks of Tommy Pham. He likes him.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
How's Tommy Pham doing right now?
That's 2 years later. How the Orioles doing right now?
Yeah. Man.
How the Orioles doing right now?
Tommy Pham's changing something right now?
Last year at the deadline, he would have.
No, he got waived because he was horrible after the deadline. He got waived.
Who would have done more for this team?
Waived.
Tommy Pham or Eloy Jimenez?
He got waived.
I don't care who to help this team.
They ran Eloy Jimenez down our throats.
That's fine. Tommy Pham got waived after being traded for.
Tommy Pham could at least play the outfield.
Yes.
Tommy Pham could steal a base.
Tommy Pham couldn't hit.
Eloy Jimenez was here munching on cheeseburgers along for the ride, having fun. Tommy Pham at least wants to win.
Tommy Pham could influence his clubhouse. Eloy Jimenez can't.
Why do they keep him around then?
Why do they keep Kimbrel around as long as they want to? Why is Charlie Morton going
to
be here longer than
Tommy Pham?
Because they're an unserious bunch of mooks who don't know how to spend money, and when they waste it, they can't admit mistakes.
That's fine.
Because they're selfish fools.
Tommy Pham helped a Diamondbacks team get to a World Series 2 years ago. That's not me talking. That's the assistant GM of the franchise that got to the World Series.
A bunch of major league teams wanted to keep taking swings at Tommy Pham. Where is Eloy Jimenez now?
Yeah.
What does Eloy Jimenez have anything to do with this?
Because that's the right-handed bat they got.
I don't defend that. I don't think Tommy Pham is the answer. Yeah.
Coming up next, Beltway Ben hates Tommy Pham. What about you? No, we want to hear from the people. 410-583-1057. Orioles lost 24-2.
Tommy Pham at least will be interesting.
Yeah.
Tommy, you wouldn't have had kids. Dude, we're not taking a cosplay road trip to the Bronx.
No, they're not.
We're not all changing collectively our music because that really matters with Tommy Pham in the clubhouse.
Nah, he's not playing that.
Somebody would have got a black eye. That's what would have happened if Tommy Pham was here.
410-583-1057.
And I'd have been here for it.
Is it early? Are you concerned? We want to hear from the people next here on The Fan. Time to hear from the people. 410-583-1057. Listen, I see we got packed phone lines. If we don't get to everybody, we'll try to reset at 4:15. We have Jonah Schaefer coming up at the top of the hour. But 410-583-1057. Let's start with Bailey in Baltimore. Bailey, you're on The Fan.
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Hey there.
Yeah, you guys teed it up for me pretty easily with that six pack right there.
We tried.
My thing is so when I was watching the last playoff game last year, and we lost obviously, I was like, in my head, I was like, this is pretty easy to keep track of, like, who got on base, because not many players got on base that entire series. So you got these four players, right? You got O'Hearn, who got a few hits. You got Mullins, who got the home run in the last game. You got Adley Rutschman, who got on base. He didn't get a hit. He got on base, though. So, so I count that, but, you know, it's better, you know.
Sliding scale.
Hey, every little bit helps.
And then, oh, and then you got Anthony Santander. One of those players is not on our team right now. And you know, it's obvious. And I just, I don't get it. Like, I don't, Anthony Santander, you know, has, you know, starts slow. As someone who used to play baseball years ago, I was the same way. But the way he, she showed up in the playoffs, he got on base. You know, he did more than Henderson did, which he didn't get on base at all that entire series. And the other young guys, like, it's just like, I don't really see what they're trying to do. And the last thing I'll say, I'll try to keep this brief. It just, it just feels like this happened in like 1993 when they moved to Camden Yards, when the new ownership took over, whenever that was in the 90s. It just seems like they're just trying to feed us the same thing again, the same BS. I really, I just don't have faith anymore. Like, I really don't. Like, it just looks like the year after they went to the playoffs and beat Detroit, where they like had a horrible losing
2014
record.
Man, I appreciate
Have a good one.
Yeah, appreciate
that. You know, let Nelly Cruz walk and thought they could replace him in other ways. And that was their sweet spot to get something done with Manny and that.
They're allegedly $5 million apart on a deal with Manny.
Can you believe that?
And they didn't get it done.
How great is that?
Fun times. Let's go to Steve in Edgewater. Steve, you're on the Fan.
Did a billionaire buy the Orioles and hire a general manager who doesn't know what the hell he's doing and hire a manager underneath of him that just does what the general manager says and he doesn't know what he's doing? That's what I'm looking at. Why do you – Gunner's the best hitter. Why does he bat lead off?
Well, they want to give him the most plate appearances.
They move him down to two.
And now they've got Gunner there. I mean, Cedric there, which is, some people were telling him that's what you should do in February and March. Me, is let Ced lead off and let Gunner ease back into this season, especially if he's going to miss all of Grapefruit League like he did. I mean, look, this is all on the general manager. The general manager was given carte blanche by John Angelos to build facilities in the Dominican, to hire whatever staff he wanted, to reinvent their research and development and IT, to bring in blackjack dealers and anybody else he wanted with him, to hire the not just the skipper, but hire the skipper's staff. And he's continued to have carte blanche in baseball operations, from the minutia of who should be in center field at Kauffman Stadium to how do we replace Corbin Burns to, maybe we should do more than just get Corbin Burns if we're only going to have Corbin Burns for 1 year. It's all on one guy.
Josh is in Severn. Josh, you're on the Fan.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Yo.
Hey, so I think you guys missed one on the most unserious things Elias did.
Yes.
I think it's probably the biggest one.
What's that?
He hasn't extended anybody like Henderson or Rutschman. And I think that that's where you're starting to see these issues coming with this team, because these guys aren't playing as a team. They don't want to be a team because they know they're not going to stay a team.
You're right.
They're all playing for their next contract and their next team right now. And that's why you see clown stuff like yesterday when Rutschman hits a home run down by 22 and he's running over to the home run bong and drinking from that like he's getting his next payday.
They're as unserious as the GM.
Yeah, can I ask a question? And Josh, thank you for the call. Is it a lock anymore that you want to extend Adley Rutschman?
I'm not extending Adley Rutschman.
Like, it used to be where I like, that's a given. Now I'm not so sure.
They drafted the wrong guy.
Like, I'm not so sure that that's a lock.
He's a good player. Yeah. There's nothing great about him.
Ben, would you extend Adley Rutschman? Where are you
his
on that?
His exit velocities are not great. His bat, if you look at any of the advanced StatCast metrics, he swings a slow bat. He doesn't hit when he catches. I mean, is he a leader? He's a leader of a team that's been a failure. Man. I mean, if he's the leader of a team that's been pooping and peeing down their own legs since things got real last January, then I'm not sure he's much of a leader.
Ben, would you extend Adley Rutschman?
I would have tried to buy low this past offseason, but I don't know that he wants to extend early, which would mean no, because he's going to want number one money. If he's not extending now, I think he wants number one money. So
410-583-1057.
It'd be nice if you threw somebody out.
Yeah,
for bleeps and giggles.
It'd be nice if you threw to the first base side.
Yeah,
of the
bag. Even get it to where a tag's got a half decent chance.
They got to reach over. Let's go, Bill's in Annapolis. Bill, you're on the Fan.
Yeah, I just want to sort of switch the narrative a little bit. I think The only thing keeping us from being a very good team is we've lost our number one, our number two, and our number six pitchers.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got a one and a two that are out injured with Tommy John. If we
You knew that going in, though, Bill.
What's that?
You knew the guys were out with Tommy John going in.
And you knew Grayson Rodriguez wasn't built up to give you 120 innings, let alone be your ace that they tried to sell you.
Yeah, but where I'm going with this is, knowing baseball, if we can hang around 500 and we get a couple of those guys back, we'll be in the playoffs. We got a tremendous amount of hitters on this team. And I would consider trading possibly Coby Mayo, because there's no position for him. And I'd try to get another starting pitcher. But we're two, maybe three pitchers away, and you can get them. And we'll be in the playoffs. The team, if it gets in the playoffs, it'll be its third year. And I think we got a legitimate shot, but we've got to fix the pitching. And I think part of that's going to fix itself when we get a couple guys back.
Bill, I appreciate the optimism, man. I really do.
I think there's a real legit shot. They don't make the playoffs, and it's not particularly close.
We'll get back to the calls, 410-583-1057 at 415. So if you're holding, please hold. We'll get to you at 415. But coming up next, Ravens, 3 days away from the NFL draft starting. Where does Jonas Schaefer think they're going to do with their first pick? We'll talk to him next. He covers the Ravens for the Baltimore Banner and joins us next.